Familiar words of the Lord Jesus Christ, John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may know where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe the things that I say. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, may God bless to us those passages from his word. To look together at the passage we read from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and especially verse 6, where David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, the last verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, every Friday in the Times newspaper, there's a supplement called Bricks and Mortar. And each week, there are a number of articles about fabulous mansions which are for sale, costing millions of pounds. We're told about the pros and cons, the good points and the bad points about each of those properties. And it's interesting to read about these properties that only millionaires can buy. It's not much hope for any of us having a massive property like that. But it's interesting to read about them. Today, we're going to think about a luxurious home, a fabulous mansion. It's not a daydream, not something we dream about as we read a newspaper. This is reality. This is a promise of God's word. That verse at the end of Psalm 23 tells us about it. David, the king of Israel, who wrote that psalm, pictures heaven as a beautiful house. And the sixth verse, he says, surely goodness, God's goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and then I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heaven is so wonderful that the Bible has many pictures to describe it. Sometimes it's described as a beautiful country. At other times, heaven is described in the Bible as a majestic city. But here it's described as a beautiful mansion. Our Lord says the same in John 14. In my Father's house, there's a mansion. There are many rooms, many luxury apartments in my Father's house. No doubt you visited a stately home in acres and acres of parkland. Well, heaven is something like that, but much more magnificent, much more wonderful. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the hope of every Christian. Like David, we can say that the Lord has saved us, and that goodness and mercy, his goodness and mercy, have followed us all the days of our life, that he's cared for us, and we thank God for that. But the best is yet to come. If we're Christians, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our hope, that's our certainty as Christians, that one day we will live in one of these luxurious apartments in our Father's glorious heavenly mansion. You may be having a hard time just now. The period of lockdown has been difficult for you. Maybe you're in great pain just now. Well, you wonder what the future will bring. Well, I don't know what the immediate future will bring for you or for me. But I do know that if we're Christians, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you're not a Christian, you have no such hope. You may laugh at Christians. You may dismiss us as cranks and fools. But before you laugh too much, just remember that you too are getting old. And one day, your time in this world will come to an end. And that is not the end of everything. The end of your life in this world is not the end of all things. The Bible says beyond this life, there's an eternity to be faced. An eternity in heaven or hell. And when we die, we've got to face that eternity. The Christian has the assurance that they'll spend that eternity in the Father's glorious mansion in heaven, this beautiful area. As a non-Christian, if you're not a believer, you don't have that assurance at all. And no one knows when the end will come. No one knows. I once took a funeral service. I took two funeral services in the same week. One funeral service was for a lady, an old lady of 103. The next funeral service, later that week, was for a boy of 13. Death is no respecter of age. We've all got to die, face eternity. But for the Christian, that eternity will be in the Father's house. I will dwell, says David, in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you more about the house of the Lord. It's the most stunning, the most glorious, the most amazing, the most astounding residence you could ever imagine. First of all, this eternal home will be free from all sin. There's no house on earth which is free from sin. You see the beautiful house, you're out walking one day, and you see a beautiful house, well-maintained gardens, and it looks so attractive. Beautiful house, you say. What a beautiful house. Yes, but I guarantee that in that house there is sin. In that house you'll find some kind of selfishness or greed or pride or jealousy or malice or bitterness. There's not a house on earth which is free from all sin. But this heavenly home, there will be no sin whatsoever. Nothing to spoil, nothing to mar, nothing to jar us, no arguing, no quarreling, no tensions, no tempers. So many homes are torn apart. The husband at war with his wife, and wife at war with her husband, and children at war with their parents and parents at war with their children. Many homes on this earth are torn apart with sin, fighting and quarreling. But in the house of the Lord, there'll be no sin whatsoever. It'll be sheer perfection. Sheer perfection. It'll also be free of all sickness. Sickness and pain come to every home on earth sooner or later. You see a delightful house in beautiful grounds, and you think that the people there must be idyllically happy. But then you discover that someone in that house has been very, very sick for years and years and years. When my wife and I lived in Cheltenham, I used to pass a house more or less every day when we lived there. And a beautiful house. Beautiful house. But I got to know the people who lived there. And I discovered that the dear lady who lived there lived in a respirator all her life. She contracted polio, very, very ill, and she was dependent on the respirator to keep her breathing day by day. Beautiful home, but sickness. There's not a home on earth free of sickness. And poor woman, when she became sick, her husband ditched her because she was ill. When she was glamorous and active, he could boast about this beautiful woman on his arm. But the moment she became sick and was an invalid, he didn't want to know her anymore, and so walked out on her and left her. And there she was, in a beautiful house, but marred with sickness, marred with a poor woman who was an invalid. But with none of that in the heavenly home. There'll be no sickness there, no pain there, no injuries there, no need for chairlifts there, no need for a lift of any kind, no need for a walking stick, because we'll all have perfect health there in heaven. Our bodies will be perfect. Thirdly, it'll be a house free from all sorrow, free from sin, free from sickness, free from all sorrow. Is there a house anywhere on earth entirely free of sorrow? I think not. It comes to every house sooner or later. And some homes seem to have more than their fair share of sorrow and sadness. It's like a black cloud hanging over the house. Maybe it's a bit like that with you at the present time. In your home, there's some great sorrow. Someone very ill. Someone dying. Someone recently taken from you. So your home is filled with sorrow. But in heaven, if you're a Christian, there'll be no sorrow there at all. No sadness. The Bible says, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more pain. Do you not see what a beautiful mansion this heavenly home is? Like a stately home on a large, large piece of land with many beautiful apartments, free of all trouble of every kind. There won't even be any trouble with the neighbors. Often in this life, you have trouble with the neighbors, don't you? When we lived in Wrexham, North Wales, we heard a commotion one night. We lived in a cul-de-sac, and we looked out of the window, and all our neighbors were there outside, waving their fists at each other, shouting at each other, swearing at each other, because someone had parked their car in the wrong place. We were the only people quietly in the house, you know, but everybody else was out on the cul-de-sac, shouting and arguing. It's like that in this world, trouble with the neighbours. But in the Father's house, there'll be no trouble at all with any of the neighbours in one of those other luxury apartments in this wonderful mansion. No trouble. We'll all live together in perfect harmony. That's why it's such a tragic thing when Christians divide and argue here on earth. When Bible-believing Christians fall out with each other, leave a church, go off in a huff. That's very, very sad, because when we get to heaven, we're all going to live together in harmony and unity. There's an old poem which puts it like this: to dwell above with saints above, that will be bliss and glory. To dwell below with saints we know, that's a different story. But it shouldn't be. When we get to heaven, there'll be no trouble with the neighbours. All of them will be so taken up with the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be no arguing or quarrelling. And if I may say it very reverently, there'll be no problems with the landlord, no problems with the owner. Some poor people in this world live in properties where the landlord is mean and vicious and extortionate. My mother lived in a rented house for 65 years, and the landlord was a callous guy who broke all the tenancy laws, and so did one of his children, who inherited the property and became landlord. Broke all the tenancy laws. Did nothing on the house to improve it. Endless trouble with the landlord. And even after my mother died, they tried to tell me that I owed some more rent. Went who didn't. But even after she died, they tried to get more money. But it's not like that with this glorious mansion in heaven. No trouble with the landlord. It's our Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. In my Father's house, David says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I said, Reverend, it's the Lord who's the landlord. And he will care for us. He'll be kind. He'll be gentle. He'll be gracious. He loves his people. He loves all those in the heavenly home, and he'll take care of them. So no trouble with the neighbours, no trouble with the landlord. But the most wonderful thing about this heavenly home is that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be there. He'll be in residence with us. He's there now as the risen, victorious Saviour. And when we get there, we'll see him and be with him forever and forever. Listen to what Jesus says. In my Father's house are many apartments. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there and prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, you may be also. Where I am, you may be also. The King of Kings, is in residence in this glorious place. It'll be wonderful, won't it? I may have some small apartment, as it were, in the corner of this stately home, but just to be in the same place as the Lord Jesus Christ, just to be able to see him in all his glory day after day, will be sheer wonder and splendor. The king there in his beauty, without a veil is seen. It were a well-spent journey, though seven deaths lay between. The Lamb with his fair army does on Mount Zion stand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. We'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as a result of this, this heavenly home will be a place of overwhelming joy and praise and joy, gladness. From each of those wonderful apartments in this magnificent, stately home will come the sound of joy and praise and singing. Sometimes on this earth, the noises from neighboring properties are ghastly. Doors slamming late at night. Dogs barking all night long. Music blaring out. Just by us, we have a young fellow who's learning to play the drums. And when the weather's been hot, all the windows have been opened, and he's banging away on the drums late at night. Well, he's a nice fellow, but I wish he wouldn't play the drums late at night like that. Noises from the neighbours sometimes can be annoying. But when we get to heaven, the only noise we'll hear from the neighbours will be the delightful sound of praise and worship and joy and thanksgiving. Vernon Higham, who wrote a number of hymns, once told me that during the revival on the island of Luce, he stood one evening outside the cottage where he was staying. And from every cottage on the hillside came the sound of singing, people singing the praises of God from every cottage. And that's how it'll be in heaven. Every residence there will be singing the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ. With harps and with vials, there stand a great throng in the presence of Jesus, who sing this new song, unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Well, Christian friends, that's our hope. That's our destiny. That's our glorious future in heaven. Our Lord likens it, David likens it, to a vast stately home in wonderful grounds with luxury apartments. And David says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the next thing about it. It will last forever. Ever and ever and ever. My present home won't last forever. It's already had replacement doors and replacement windows. But this house in heaven will never decay, will never deteriorate, will never devalue. It'll never go into negative equity. It'll be the same forever and forever and forever. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, we know that if the earthly house we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. We have an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. That's our hope. We're living through a very troubled time. Many Christians even have found it very, very difficult. But don't let these present difficulties get you down, my friend. Don't let atheistic mockers shake your faith. Look beyond all of that. If you are a true Christian, there's a wonderful home awaiting you in heaven. But, says someone, when will we move in? That's the thing you always want to know, isn't it? when you buy a house or rent a house, when can we move in? When is completion date? Well, I can't give you the precise date or time when we'll move into this heavenly home. I don't know how many more years the Lord plans for you. I don't know how many more years the Lord plans for us, for me, for my wife and myself. Just recently, there was a series of interviews on YouTube done through Heath Evangelical Church, where men who are retired from the pastorate, men who are getting on a bit, like me, were interviewed on this program. One of the people to be interviewed was John Blanchard. It was called Before They Leave the Stage, Before They Leave the Stage. In other words, before they leave this world and go to heaven. We'll see what they've got to say. Before they leave the stage. Well, John Blanchard was interviewed one Sunday. 3 days later, John Blanchard left this world and went to glory. None of us dreamt that that would be the case. Nobody, ever since, the rest of us have been asking who's going to be the next to leave the stage. We don't know how many years the Lord's got left for us. We just don't know. Some are taken when they're very young. Some go on, apparently, forever and forever into great old age. So we don't know when completion date will be, when we can move in. But when we die, whenever that is, we will go to be with the Lord in heaven. Our bodies will be buried in the grave. But our souls, our essential beings, will go on to be with the Lord in glory. There's no such place as purgatory. There's no such temporary abode as that. If you're a Christian, the moment you die, your soul will go on to be with the Lord in glory. For me, to depart is to be with Christ, which is far better, says the Apostle Paul. But one day, if we're Christians, our bodies will be there as well. Because the teaching of the Bible is this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to this world, he will raise our bodies from the dead. And our bodies will be reunited with our souls. And if we are Christians, we'll be forever in God's eternal home with bodies and souls. And our bodies will be perfect. No more pain. No more arthritis. No more heart disease. No more ailments. We'll live forever and ever, body and soul, in that new realm, that wonderful mansion. That's our hope as Christians. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But says someone, how can you be so sure about this? How can you be so sure about this? You say, I've had many disappointments in life. How can I be sure about this one? Let me tell you, there's a divine contract. When you take possession of a house, either to rent it or buy it, and you sign a contract. Well, here's a divine contract which cannot be broken. God has pledged himself. God has pledged to us that if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we die, our souls will go to glory. And then, ultimately, our bodies will be reunited with our souls and we'll spend eternity in that home. It's based on a divine contract. God has promised that. But it's also been purchased for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died there on the cross to buy this house for us. We could never buy it ourselves. We can never earn a place in this heavenly home. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, purchased a place for us in this eternal home. So can I ask you, my friend, are you heading that way? Are you on the way to heaven? I must ask you that question. It's the most important question I or anybody else could ever ask you. When you die, will you go on to this wonderful home in glory? Will you dwell in the house of the Lord forever? It's not automatic. You see, some people think foolishly that automatically, when everyone dies, they'll go to heaven. Everybody will get there. No question about that. Everybody will get there. But that is not the case. Only those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. Only those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. My older brother thinks I'm quite mad to go to places in other countries to preach the gospel. And he says to me, why go there? Why go there? They've got their own gods. They've got their own religion. Why go there and tell them about yours? The answer to that is this. We do that because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a categorical statement. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father in heaven except through me. So we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you do believe on him, that's your wonderful hope. If you come to believe on him today, that will be your wonderful hope from now on. You'll be able to say with David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank God for that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful hope held out in the Bible in so many places, but especially in this psalm, and underlined by our Lord in John 14. That in his Father's house there are many luxury apartments, and that ultimately, if we trust in him, we'll go to be with him forever and ever in that beautiful place. Lord, help all of us here today to make sure that we're on our way to that eternal home. And we pray that wherever the gospel is preached today, that others may join us going to this wonderful place. We ask this in our Savior's name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and forever. Amen.